And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And compared to last week, we have a relatively short show today, but we've got some really cool stories that we should dive right into. The first of which is the Kinect for Windows V2 sensor and SDK. What's this all about?
So first thing is we're actually starting to send out and ship out the V2 sensor. So number of different improvements here. So whether it's improved skeletal tracking, mm-hmm. That you can actually have instead of two with Kinect V1, you can actually track six people and you track more joints, right? So higher fidelity. If you think about Kinect V1, it was a 640 by 480 image, mm-hmm. so pretty low fidelity image. Now you're talking 1080p HD image. So the Nick Fillinghams of the world will be happier. The field of view has been increased in the actual sensor as well, so you get a lot more detailed, and of course just the tracking and everything has improved. So, and of course on the SDK side, there's a number of improvements, so you can do things like have thumb position, understand skeletal hand and joint orientation, things like Unity support as well, some of the new Kinect Studio tooling. One of the coolest parts is the ability to actually record gestures. So I want to build a gesture, and my gesture is, you know, pop, pop, go, or something like that. You know, you can imagine something where you're playing.
It's a great gesture. Love it.
Rock, scissors, paper is what it was.
Okay. All right.
I went paper.
All right.
They actually have a way that you record that and a gesture learner, and it actually uses machine learning mm-hmm. to say kind of what's real and what's not in terms of that gesture. So if you're looking to build gestures, rather than having to hand code that stuff, it actually uses machine learning to actually build that.
Hand code? Huh? Hand gestures, hand code?
I'm about to give you a hand gesture. So advanced face tracking as well, 2,000 point mesh, so tons of detail in terms of face tracking and improvements. And then simultaneous multi-app support. So before it was one app can use Kinect. Now Kinect, if you think about it as a shared service, you can actually have two apps. So one that's maybe doing a logging diagnostics and another one that's the live app.
Got it. And so this is, just to be clear, this is new hardware.
New hardware and new SDK.
And can you just go
SDK
get...
SDK is a preview, and coming months it'll be finalized.
Okay, and can anybody get the Kinect hardware, the
yeah.
new Kinect hardware?
Exactly, okay. Right.
And you just buy it in a store, or do you have to buy it through a developer
You can
program?
Actually go to their website, and you'll see the order form, and there's a series of countries that the Kinect is available for as well.
Okay, excellent. Well, speaking of series of countries, one thing that they just announced is that 21 additional payout markets for Kinect and Windows Store applications, which is
awesome.
Great. And also, they've unified the developer portal as well. So previously, we had one developer portal that addressed people that were building apps for Windows Phone, a different one that were building apps for Windows Store on the client or desktop. And now they've unified that experience, and of course, as you would imagine, this is heavily pivoted around universal Windows apps, which we announced at Build as being a single solution that allows you to build an application that has common code, which gets shared across both Windows Phone and Windows Store applications. So really nice to see them kind of taking a fresh look at the information architecture and the way that you as a developer come up to speed and consume the reference documentation around these libraries.
Cool. This is a post by Steve Teixeira, mm-hmm. talking about the Windows Developer Program for the Internet of Things. So a number of different things, if you will, around this announcement. One is we have a new Windows Developer Portal for IoT. So that includes things like samples to get you started, and even including things like wiring diagrams, and how you can actually use the Galileo Intel board. And some of the details around there, our OpenTech team is doing a lot of this stuff open source. If you want to see this, I think in a couple days, I just checked in, it hadn't been published yet. But this will include things like samples and how they're actually doing a number of the infrastructure for these boards. Mm-hmm. And obviously a number of things are kind of in progress. But if you're looking to kind of understand the Windows Developer for IoT, definitely check out the portal. There's now tutorials, samples, and a lot for you to learn about for this particular scenario.
Yeah, I was just reading an article about how Internet of Things from Microsoft is actually starting to get involved in things like elevator logic. So you can imagine, we pay some insane amount of money each month for someone to come out and check the status of the health of the elevator in our condo. And you can imagine that if you were able to put a smarter system into that, rather than having to go proactively check it. You could just react based on the health status reports that are coming out of that elevator. So that's one thing that I never even would have thought of. I mean, obviously we think about internet enabling my refrigerator so that I know when to go pick up more Diet Coke, but you don't typically, I wouldn't have typically thought about elevators. So once you start thinking broadly like that, I mean, there's just so much opportunity out there.
Yeah, and a lot of these are like commercial scenarios, mm-hmm. right? So like rather than thinking about like, hey, my coffee maker, like there isn't a lot of value there, but imagine if I have, I'm UPS, I have hundreds of trucks and I want to be able to see real time and even potentially even see down to each package, depending on the package for commercial packages, that it's been delivered, that it's at the right temperature, that, hey, you need to worry about this because the air conditioner delivery isn't.
Yeah,
not on time.
Or I know we're going deeper than on this than we plan to. But if you want to geek out about this stuff, go check out 88 Acres, which is a set of articles that Microsoft's own facilities have published about how we have started to manage our campus infrastructure here in Redmond and around the world. And they tell some crazy stories. Like previously, they would have situations where due to faulty equipment or faulty sensors, they would literally have both the heat and the air conditioning on at the same time.
Awesome.
And now what they had to do is they had to build this like middleware library that talks to all the different disparate systems across the campus. But now that they've done that, they can sit in a single operations room, if you will, and they can literally stack rank based on how much each item or each thing that needs servicing is costing them. And so they were able to, you know, within hours of turning on a system like that, go out and save tens of thousands of dollars just by addressing the top few items on that list. So it's really a cool space, and I'm excited to see what they'll
come out
with.
There's a lot you can do when you actually have the data.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, hey,
figure.
everybody's normal except this one building. We should probably go check that out.
Yep, 42, right?
Yes.
Building 42. That's a crazy building.
Life, the universe, and everything.
So from our friends over in MS OpenTech, they actually came out with a really nice way of being able to take an open frameworks project. And so if you're not familiar with open frameworks, I was not. I was checking it out earlier today. It allows you to, as a C++ developer, do some really neat things with graphics. And so they've got some helper libraries there for working with vectors and for working with OpenGL and for doing a lot of really cool applications. Now you can take those open frameworks applications and you can actually compile those as these universal Windows apps that we were talking about. So you can take those same applications, and I'm sure there's probably some limitations in terms of the APIs that you get access to, but at least for some of the common applications that they've tested with, you can take those and you can move them and within minutes have both a Windows and a Windows Phone application, which is quite cool.
Yeah, very cool. Brings us to support Google and Docker to support new open source projects on Microsoft Azure. So Jason Zander was talking about some of the things that we did, which was to announce, at, I think it was at DockerCon, that MS OpenTech was enabling Docker. And what Docker basically gives you is a lighter weight container for applications. So when we think about a container for applications, we normally think like, hey, I'm going to spin up a virtual machine, mm-hmm. and my application's going to live on that thing. Mm-hmm. Well, rather than having an entire virtual machine, can you have a smaller abstraction, if you will, mm-hmm. for that, and that's really what Docker gives you. So there's a number of things there. Docker V1 was announced at that conference as well. And the point is, if you are a developer that's using, say, Linux Azure VMs, you can now use Docker. So it's Docker plus Linux at Linux, all on Azure.
Right, and at the end of the day, it's all about getting higher density out of your cloud, right? So it's being able to take an application and sandbox just that process or just that application, whereas previously the most logical sandbox for that would have been the entire operating system itself. You can now do that within little pockets. So so this is something that I had actually not heard of Docker until 3 weeks ago, so it's brand new for me, but it looks like just a really great innovation that's going to drastically improve the operational efficiency of a data center.
And I think the other big thing is there's two projects, Kubernetes and LibSwarm. And what those basically allow you to do is more the management. So rather than just creating a container, how do I spin up mm-hmm. the multiple containers? How do I do dev tests with them? And so on. And we're actually announcing support for both of those on Microsoft Azure.
Great. Fantastic. Brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
And it's been incredibly hot in Redmond and Seattle lately, so I thought this was a really appropriate Pick of the Week, which is that MIT students found a way to 3D print ice cream. And this is an awesome story. It makes me hungry just looking at it. And it's really kind of cool to read about some of their early experiments. Obviously, as you're kind of extruding the ice cream, you also have to be able to freeze it in place. And so you saw the first few phases that they went through, where the ice cream just looks like a mess, as ice cream does in the middle of the summer. But then as they were able to tweak the amount of liquid nitrogen that they were feeding into kind of the plate that they were freezing this ice cream on top of, they were actually able to build some interesting patterns. And so you could imagine building a star or my head out of ice cream, which I would imagine is probably going to become the new shiny tea kettle of ice cream printing.
I'd love it. I want like Abe Lincoln, and like the beard could be chocolate. I mean, the whole thing, top hat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know why Abe Lincoln jumps into my mind as the first thing I'd want for ice cream.
Because he's the most delicious president, obviously.
I think so.
Yes.
Which brings us to my pick of the week. And it was Microsoft Research showing off Project Atom. So what Project Atom is with Cortana, you could actually point your picture, and the idea is, can we visualize and recognize any object? So you point your camera at something, it knows what it is. So what they decided to do is do things like use 14 million images from Flickr, and then use the tags to understand what is in the image, and then
clever.
Do a number of things around machine learning, object classification, and so on, to basically allow it to, you point the camera, take a picture, it knows what that object is. And they actually brought out like live dogs.
That's amazing.
And said, hey, can you recognize this breed?
I don't know what kind of dog that is.
This one actually was the one that, because they started asking the audience, like the first one was like a Labrador.
Yeah.
Second one, like, and everybody kind of knew that one. Second one was another breed. And then this one, people were like, is that a Labradoodle or something else? Mm-hmm. And,
it's actually an Ewok is the correct answer. Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's actually just carpet.
Yes.
So that's just a carpet sculpture. And but it was
awesome.
Definitely cool, and you should definitely check out the video. So
that's really cool.
I just love the idea of you think about just the smarts of how much humans can recognize objects,
mm-hmm.
and if we think about something as simple as our phone being able to do that, or being able to distribute to the cloud and easily be able to understand that information, that's amazing.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. So, awesome. Well, cool to see that come out. Do you know if that's actually something I can go download today?
No, it's Microsoft Research kind of showing it off, so it's not.
But I can get the dog today is the most important thing.
I'm pretty sure you can find that toy on Amazon with a number of hilarious reviews.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Sounds good. Well, we will see you next week.
Thanks.